Hello and welcome to the Mondas podcast. Today I'm joined by Stephen from Radio Free Scorro. Congratulations to him and Erica on their wedding as well. Oh yes. Hello Stephen, thanks for coming on.
Hi there Ian, I am fighting a cold. The voice is still a little bit gravelly and such, but I hope I can make it through this appearance again on the Mondas podcast.
First question, what are your hopes for the 50th anniversary?
My hopes for the 50th anniversary, I just hope it's good. I think it is. I think Stephen Moffat realizes the gravity of getting it right. I think he's even said that he's kind of nervous about writing the 50th anniversary special. I hope that, I don't want to be one of those fans that sort of says I demand two full seasons of Doctor Who for the 50th anniversary, because but I do. It looks like there's going to be like the second half of Series 7B in April and May, and maybe even into early June. And I hope it's not a big long wait until one big giant special on November 23rd, because it puts so much weight on that special. So I kind of hope that we have a couple more episodes than that. Maybe even a short mini-season or something building up to it. I hope that, and I'm glad that we aren't going to get it, in my opinion, because Big Finish has announced that they're going to do their own little multi-doctor anniversary story themselves, an audio story, of course, in November with Doctors 4 through 8. I don't think it would have been a good idea to try and cram in all the surviving Doctors into a television story, because Doctors 4 through 8 don't look anything like they did when they were on the original show, and you can only write in so many time dilation gags or something like that, like they did for the for Time Crash. And plus, it's very difficult to write in 8 living Doctors, you know? So I think David Tennant is up for something. It would be really neat if Christopher Eccleston would be up for something, but I think a 50th anniversary special, not necessarily featuring old companions and Doctors, because they kind of did that with Journey's End, with all the Doctor's companions coming back. I think returning to different places and times, I think, in the show's history would be a good way of paying tribute to the past without sort of it becoming a sideshow and a spectacle of itself. I think I've always thought that shooting a story in the original console room, or at least a mock-up of the original console room, or at least the classic series console room, a replica of which they have at the Doctor Who Experience, I think would be really, really neat. And seeing that and going back to perhaps even Todders Lane and doing it right, as opposed to doing it didn't really look like anything in Attack of the Cybermen, and they misspelled an I Am Foreman on the name of the door on Remembrance of the Daleks, which kind of poo-pooed that one. So I think going back to old locations and such would be cool for the 50th.
So if Matt Smith actually leaves, who would you like to be the new Doctor then?
I'm going to say no one right now, because I love Matt Smith too much to imagine another Doctor taking over from him. In my mind, Matt Smith is the perfect Doctor. He's my favorite Doctor of all time. And he embodies the eccentricity and the youthful exuberance, yet the fact that he's been around for 1,000 years. All that is embodied into one Doctor, I think perhaps more perfectly than any other actor who's played the role. And so I have a hard time thinking about who could possibly take over from Matt Smith. Whoever it is has big shoes to fill.
Mondas. So do you think Doctor Who can actually work as a movie then?
I don't know. I think I've spoken about this before on this show. And Stephen Moffat has said that there probably will be a movie at some point, but it's not going to feature an actor different to the one who's playing the role in this series proper. So it's a very good bet that it won't be Matt Smith, because nothing's really set in stone, and I don't think Matt Smith is going to be around for more than 2 years. Unless, of course, he ends his tenure as the Doctor in a movie. Story-wise, they've done a lot of ambitious stuff on the show proper. I think, personally, I think The Time of Angels and Flesh and Stone were as good as, you know, as good as Doctor Who could be. There's just an epic feel to it that could be a movie. I don't think you want to make a movie that says, oh, Daleks and Cybermen invade, because they've done that too. Or, you know, they move the Earth halfway across space, because that's been done. Doctor Who has used up a lot of great movie ideas, and I don't... I sort of compare it to the Star Trek movies, and that the original cast Star Trek movies I adored a lot more than the Next Generation ones, because they were so far removed from the original series that there was a big epic feel to it, and it felt different, and it felt right that it was on the big screen. But the Next Generation movies, I think, with the exception of First Contact, just sort of felt like, especially Generations, because they used the same set. They just felt like big screen versions of Next Generation episodes, like a standard 2-part episode in a way. You know, they didn't really differ that much, and so it's going to be very difficult. It's going to be very difficult to envision Doctor Who as a movie. But I think you put the right people behind it, and I think and if you get someone like Stephen Moffat to write it, I think it could work.
So if you could meet any Doctor Who actor who you haven't met, who would it be?
Oh, crikey, that's a tough one, because, I mean, Matt Smith is up there, obviously, because he, you know, but he doesn't have the weight and history of his time on Doctor Who to sort of, I speak as someone who's interviewed people, luckily enough, on Radio Free Skaro. And I've interviewed probably my favorite doctor from my youth, Peter Davison, and Sylvester McCoy. So it'd be fun to talk to Matt Smith about the role and such. Tom Baker, obviously, would sort of be the big one, because he is just such an eccentric individual that I think he would be a great delight to talk to.
Mondas. How do you think the Eighth Doctor series would have been if it actually been commissioned then?
Ooh, I think it would have been, probably very similar to other science fiction shows of the era, quite frankly. I think if Fox had actually said, yeah, we like this, but they probably would have made some changes to sort of make it really American. I don't think, you know, Philip Siegel, who produced the thing and spent 7 years of his life trying to bring it to screen, sort of put all of his eggs in one basket and just sort of wanted to get the movie made so he could sort of, and then focus on the series. He didn't really have any ideas for what he would do with the series. So I think it would be something that Who fans today might not have looked very kindly upon, especially in light of what the BBC did in 2005 through until the current day. So, I mean, in retrospect, I bet you at the time we probably all lamented the fact that it was never picked up for a full series, and it was almost kind of like the death knell, like, oh, well, we gave it a shot and Doctor Who wasn't brought back. I think this is probably it for this series. And in retrospect, we could probably say that it was probably a good thing given what we have now. But I think that it would have been a different beast. I think at the time, science fiction was sort of not run by the fans, but made with the eye of the fan in mind. Because I think the Star Trek series, it started to become really, beholden to fan and continuity and such, and I think that showed through in the actual movie itself. And I think they would have either completely thrown out all continuity and history of the show to appease Fox, or they would have, in my mind, sort of followed along the TV movie, which is really shoehorned a lot of history in, and try and discover a lot about the Doctor himself, which is a completely at variance of what the show is about. It's Doctor Who. So I'm glad in retrospect that we never actually got an Eighth Doctor series, even though it would have been fun to see what would have happened with Paul McGann, who's, I think, gone on to be a great Doctor in the audio dramas.
So do you ever write fan fiction or dream of writing for Big Finish, etc.?
The only fan fiction I wrote was when I think probably about 14 or 15. I believe it or not, I was going to write a series, 14-episode series, because that's what Doctor Who was at the time, of what was going to be Commander Y, which is a complete ripoff of Doctor Who. It was basically the commander was the Doctor. I think I eventually turned it into Doctor Who. But it was going to be made of stop-motion Lego, and I actually contacted my local cable access network to see if we could videotape the series in stop-motion in their studios. And they were actually receptive to the idea, and that's about as far as it got, because I had no idea how to shoot such a thing or how long it would actually take. But I actually had sets built up for what was called Clash of the Daleks, which was because of my enthusiasm for Remembrance of the Daleks and complete naivety and inability to come up with something original on my own. It was pretty much a ripoff of Remembrance of the Daleks. I still have the scripts for that, and a Cyberman four-parter called Gold Syndrome, and then I had a two-parter set in Robin Hood times, which is pretty much a complete pure historical, and then a fourth story that I never actually came up with a script for. That's about the extent of my fanfic about when I was in my mid-teens, and I haven't written anything since.
Mondas Podcast. Mondas Podcast. So when you were growing up, was there many Whovians in your area? And does it feel odd that it's now so cool?
I didn't know any real big Doctor Who fans growing up, apart from one who sort of showed me a couple videotapes and showed me the Doctor Who role-playing game by FASA in the mid-80s. And then I lost touch of them in the early 90s, just as I was entering high school. And so the first real big Doctor Who fan I met was Warren, my co-host on Ready Free Scar, who actually said that, oh my God, you know, we're both Doctor Who fans, we should start a Doctor Who podcast. So my entry into Doctor Who fandom has really been because of the podcast. And yes, it does feel odd that there are people out there who I know who I haven't directly told or influenced to watch Doctor Who, but they know that I like it, and so they contact me and they said, you know, I'm starting to watch Doctor Who now and I really, really like it. And of course it's all the new series. You know, the old series is still just a thing that was on TV when they were kids and they never really watched it, but they really like the new series. And it's it is strange to see not only that, but there's, you know, a lot of references on primetime American TV shows now, because the writers of those shows are fans of Doctor Who. And it's, you know, Craig Ferguson, a late night talk show host here in North America, has a TARDIS on his desk every single night. And, you know, there's other big name fans out there who sort of, you know, spreading the word and making it rather acceptable. The Muppets did a parody of Doctor Who, for crying out loud. It is odd. I think that, you know, Twitter explodes for a little bit, or Tumblr does, whenever the Big Bang Theory or something has something Doctor Who related on it. And it's just, it's becoming a thing. It's becoming, you know, not mainstream, but it's becoming big enough that I think Doctor Who fans sort of have to become used to the fact that there are going to be people out there who are big fans of the show, and it's just becoming a normal thing. And when in our lives has Doctor Who ever been normal?
On your podcast, The Memory Cheats, do you ever cheat and look up a fact?
Absolutely never. I will admit that when we were, Josh and I did our first recording session, I thought that I was going to call up. I did a blog that I'm very slowly working on finishing. It's called The Chronic Hysteresis. I started it in 2009 and sort of watched every episode and wrote a blog post on every single individual episode. And I had that up during the recording of our first episode, thinking that just in case, you know, it's I'm not looking up facts. I'm looking up my own memories and opinions of an episode. But I never referred to it, never opened it once. And Josh hasn't either. And so, but when we recorded the second episode right after that, I just closed it down. And no, we've never looked one up. And it's part of the buzz, really, of recording, because we have to, you know, when Josh spins a little Wheel of Fortune thing to randomly select a story that we're going to talk about, we genuinely don't know what's going to happen. You hear our instant reactions to it, to what episode we get, and there's the fear that we'll get something like the Space Pirates or, you know, the Celestial Toy Maker, something that we've only maybe seen the recon of two or three times and don't know much about. And we have to fill 15 minutes about it. And so it's that excitement that makes it fun, that we're working without a safety net. So I think to look up a fact, that would just ruin everything. Come on.
Do you want to tell us your links for your podcasts, etc.?
I am on Twitter at Legopolis, and I'm on three different podcasts right now. Radio Free Scarrow is the main one, radiofreescarrow.com. The Memory Cheats is the relatively recent one, recently started one. It's coming up to a year anniversary, though, in March. That's at thememorycheats.libsyn.com. That comes out every Thursday. Josh and I record a whole chunk of episodes in one night, and then sort of release them every Thursday. So it's a great little podcast. And then the third podcast is sort of coming to a close in its current incarnation, which is called Shaken Not Stirred. It's on the Doctor Who Prognosis Negative feed. There's sort of a collection of different podcasts and on that feed. That's sort of Doctor Who being sort of the main tie-in. And the Shaken Not Stirred is a James Bond commentary podcast where me, Josh, and from the Memory Cheats, Eric Escamilla from Mostly Harmless Cutaway, and Kyle Anderson from Doctor Who, the Writer's Room. We do commentaries on James Bond films, randomly selected, and the catch is for me that I've never seen them, and so I'm watching it for the very first time as I'm commenting on it. And we're as of recording this, I think we've got three more to go, maybe one or two extra ones in there, possibly. We'll be doing Skyfall when it comes out too, and then we'll be moving on to something else that I'm not at liberty to say right now, but that's at Doctor Who Prognosis Negative. So I'm a very busy podcaster, just like you are, Ian.
Thanks very much for your time. Take care.
Thanks again. Thanks for having me on. This is a lot of fun. So good luck to you, and good to see the Mondas podcast back on the airwaves of the internet.
Mondas podcast. Mondas podcast with Mondas podcast. Mondas podcast. Mondas podcast. Mondas podcast. Mondas podcast with Mondas podcast. 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 Mondas podcast.